Thank you very much, Tony, Charles, who's gone back to work, and Doug. And we will dismiss these fine folks and bring our next panelist up.
What's the title of your book? What's Self-Defense in the Bible. I'll have it out on Facebook.
I love you, but you can't have my watch.
I don't want your stinking watch. It's my pleasure to bring up to the podium now Dr. Timothy Wheeler of Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, and who has been with us at least the last five or six GRPCs, and always has a lot of good information for you, and we'll let him get going on his topic today. Tim?
Thank you, Peggy. Am I okay with the sound there, Charles? Okay. Thank you all for sticking around to Sunday. I've been to, it's been more than five or six gun rights policy conferences now, and I have enjoyed every one of them. I've met a lot of tremendously fascinating, informed people. It's the greatest place in the country to network with like-minded folks who support our Second Amendment rights and our freedoms. I want to give you an update on an issue that has been percolating on the political scene for some years now. It really came to the forefront. Thanks. It really came to the forefront back in the mid-1990s. I can't believe it's been 20 years that I've been dealing with this issue. And that was the public health assault on our right to keep and bear arms. It really got going back in the, as I said, the early 1990s. And one of the places, one of the venues where we saw the greatest effort to overturn our gun rights in the public health community was at the Federal Centers for Disease Control. This is the big agency. Many people are familiar with it in its efforts to stamp out the zombie apocalypse, but really it has a role in fighting infectious disease and has for decades, until this time in the late 80s and early 90s, when they decided to, instead of stamping out disease, they wanted to stamp out the disease, as they saw it, of gun ownership. They used tax money to support research, actually not really research, it was what we call advocacy research, which is really thinly disguised scientific research that is really advocacy against gun rights. It's gun control advocacy. And this really got going in the 90s. The Centers for Disease Control became the focus of an investigation and some activity by the National Rifle Association. Just to summarize very quickly what happened during those days, I was one of three medical doctors and one criminologist who testified before the House of Representatives Appropriations Committee when it came time to fund the Centers for Disease Control. Congress was not happy with the CDC's anti-gun advocacy, and as a result, they took away the funding of the CDC that they were spending on this anti-gun advocacy. And that has been pretty much in effect ever since then. That was in 1997 with the appropriations bill for that year. Now we fast forward to the present time. And earlier this year, we saw a formal effort by this administration to restart the Centers for Disease Control's anti-gun factoid factory, as we call it. In 1863, President Lincoln signed a congressional charter that created the National Academy of Sciences. Now, 150 years later, President Obama is enlisting the National Academy of Sciences in an item in his January 16th plan to change the lives of America's gun owners. You may have remembered that list of 16 executive actions. They were not executive orders, by the way. There's a difference. An executive order is actually just that. It's an order under the power of the executive branch issued by the president. An executive action is something less than that. Exactly how much, we're going to find out with this administration that is pushing the boundaries of executive power. But one of his 16 points was to restore the CDC's anti-gun research. And part of that effort is enlisting the Institute of Medicine, which is one of the branches of the National Academy of Sciences, to set an agenda and to legitimize the CDC's research. We've heard several reports already at this conference about how this research is gearing up at the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health. Mayor Bloomberg, among his many other activities to improve our lives, has bought himself a school of public health at Johns Hopkins University, which has long been involved in anti-gun research, and now he apparently is going to staff it with a flying wedge of these anti-gun researchers with his billions. Back at the end of April, the Institute of Medicine held a workshop, which I attended by webcast, that brought together all of the names in anti-gun research. This is a committee of the Institute of Medicine, and their role was, as I said, to define an agenda for the CDC's research for gun research to go forward from here. The bottom line is that we can expect more of the same. This is a concerted effort to start a propaganda machine funded by our tax dollars and Bloomberg's millions, the likes of which we have never seen before. Let me tell you a little bit about what went on at that workshop to give you a flavor of what we can expect in the coming years. This workshop was moderated and mostly led by these longtime anti-gun researchers, familiar faces from the 1990s. One of them was John Vernick, who is the co-director of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And he was complaining, and I quote, "We've suffered through 20 years, end of quote. Start out with a little drama here. You know, actually, it was 16 years ago that the CDC had their funds cut off for gun research. "We've suffered through 20 years without congressional money, without tax money to support our research." Really. The research that came out of Hopkins never seemed to find anything good about guns or gun owners. Another person who directed this conference was David Hemenway, who is the director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center. He wrote a book called Private Guns, Public Health, which is basically just a character attack against gun owners and the whole idea of gun ownership. And he said, "We know very, very little about the deterrent effects of guns." And he said this even as Professor Gary Kleck from Florida State was sitting right there in the audience looking on. And some of you may know Professor Kleck as the author of some of the leading research in the 1990s and beyond that shows that many people use guns every year to defend against attackers. This is a common pattern among the anti-gun researchers. They pretend that any research that goes against their findings doesn't exist. And they're pretty effective at this. We have to keep reminding them all the time of Professor Kleck's work, John Lott's work, and so on. Another person at this conference was Hemenway's Harvard colleague, Dr. Matthew Miller. Dr. Miller is a medical doctor who does injury control research at Harvard. He argued the case for using auto injury reduction measures as a model for reducing firearm injuries. He didn't say quite how this would work since auto injuries are almost all accidental and firearm injuries are almost all intentional. But this is a model that the anti-gunners have tried forever to make fit. Another person at the conference was Julia Da Silva, who is the director of the something called the Violence Prevention Office at the American Psychological Association. Why a group of clinical psychologists would need a violence prevention office is something that wasn't explained, but there she was. And Ms. Da Silva revealed the typical academic worldview, saying that, quote, gun violence is an extreme expression of aggression and conflict resolution. Well, yeah, it is to some, I suppose. You know, to a career criminal, it's just a tool of his job. It's a way of getting what he wants. Ms. Da Silva didn't even mention legitimate self-defense against such aggression as a use for a firearm. So the bias is clear among these folks, and again, this was a very clear indication of the kind of research that we can expect from them in the future. Another person, kind of ominously, was the director of the National Institute of Justice, which is usually a fairly nonpartisan kind of bureaucratic position. Greg Ridgway is his name, and he fondly recalled his days as a RAND Corporation out in Santa Monica, California, the People's Republic of Santa Monica, a RAND Corporation gun violence researcher, a time during which he collaborated with Dr. Garen Wintemute. And we know Dr. Wintemute is a University of California Davis emergency physician who has made a career out of writing pseudo-academic articles that are, again, are basically character attacks on gun owners. This director of NIJ, Ridgway, put the audience on notice that his agency intends to make research into user-authenticated guns, a priority. Now, some of you may know this technology as the fabled techniques of making firearms usable only by their lawful owner, palm print recognition or some little magnetic ring that enables the gun, otherwise the gun is disabled and so forth. This is an idea that's been floating around the gun control world for a good 20 years or so. The technology has been worked on for that long, researched. It still does not exist. But that does not stop legislators from writing laws, such as my own legislator did out in California this year, to make the only kind of guns you can buy guns with that technology once it's developed. Again, that's just another way to limit lawful gun ownership by law-abiding people. Now, the Institute of Medicine workshop did allow a few voices from the pro-gun rights side. The National Rifle Association Institute for Legislative Action Research, Department of Research Director, John Frazier, was there. John gently reminded these assembled tweak-prone scientists that cost-benefit analysis of gun ownership really was of limited value since gun ownership is a fundamental right. And you could see the pained looks, you know, on the researchers' faces when they heard that. Constitutional rights, human rights, those are something that are not on the radar screen of these scientists. They believe that science trumps anything along those lines. And so it's a constant battle for us to remind these folks that, yes, firearm ownership is a constitutional right, and you're going to have to deal with that in your research. The previous director of the NRA ILA's Office of Research, Paul Blackman, some of you may remember Paul, was also there, and he's now an Independence Institute senior fellow. He recalled the CDC's previous gun research as not quite textbook epidemiology, which was the understatement of the conference, I thought. He called for research priorities to shift from tweaking these little details of gun technology to the real problem, which is violent crime. And there was a resounding silence from the researchers there. They're not interested in controlling crime. They're interested in controlling you and me. The thing that really torpedoed the credibility of this conference, in my mind, was the absence of John Lott. Is John still here? I guess he's gone back home. You heard him yesterday. You've heard him at many of our gun rights policy conferences. John is the foremost researcher on the effects of gun ownership on crime. He has a long and distinguished academic career in firearm research, but he was not invited to this Institute of Medicine conference. That's not surprising to me, considering the makeup of the conference and the fact that it is motivated by the current presidential administration. So overall, what we had here was an indication that this administration intends to use the full force and resources of the federal government, the vast bureaucracy, the Centers for Disease Control, and now the Institute of Medicine to help them along in starting up the CDC's gun factoid factory. We're going to see a lot of it in the coming years. We need to be prepared for it. I will tell you that we can stop it, though. We'll stop it the same way that we did back in the 1990s, and that is for American gun owners to contact their Congress members. Contact their Congress members. Let them know that you are aware of this issue, that it hasn't gone away over the last 20 years, and you're still watching, and you oppose the use of federal tax money to try to take away your firearm freedoms. Thank you very much.